It is November the 5th. We have 8 games to go through. The return, potentially, of Chris Middleton, maybe. Pelicans starting to get some guys back on the floor. This is the Thursday pregame show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. Don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I am Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us at FBI Basketball or on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube. Please go and find and like and subscribe and rate and do all of that stuff. Download episodes, all of that helps us. We are also part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter. And Dan Besperus at Old Man Squad on Blue Sky. 8 games, some returning players. Let's just quickly talk about Chris Middleton because he is potentially coming back tomorrow. They don't play tonight. They play against Boston tomorrow. And, yeah, it looks like he could be back. He is probable. So we would expect that barring any setbacks, anything like that, that he will return. He will, of course, probably be very limited. He's not going to play back-to-backs. He was drafted in a lot of spots and then subsequently dropped when we had no real update. If he's available, I would maybe go and add him now, pop him straight in your IR spot and leave him there because I don't think he'll play enough tomorrow to be someone that we want to have active over potentially, I guess, someone that is going to play significant minutes. But assuming that the ankles progress well and he's playing well, he could still be a top 100, top 80 player at some point in the season. So definitely worth rostering if he does reach that ceiling. Let's get into the games for tonight, though. The first of which is the Dallas Mavericks heading to Washington to face the Wizards. For Dallas, still no Naji Marshall. He's out, which will not have huge impact fantasy-wise. It probably just gives a little bit more of the ball to Spencer Dinwiddie, Quentin Grimes. But other than that, they're relatively healthy. Klay Thompson was on a 20-minute restriction in the last game. No word of what it might be tonight, but honestly, I'm not sure he's someone we need to be rostering at this point. If you need threes, go ahead. But he's averaging like 12 points a game with three threes, like 2.8, something like that. So if you need threes and that's it, fine. But as long as Luka and Kyrie are healthy, even PJ, you could argue, is ahead of Klay Thompson in the offensive pecking order. Probably not Derek Lively just yet, but Klay Thompson, not a must roster player. As for Dinwiddie and Grimes, if you want to pick them up, Dinwiddie's been pretty good. Even with Luka and Kyrie healthy in that last game, he put up some decent numbers. I'm not convinced it'll stick, but 8 games, there's a chance you have one or two open roster spots, streaming spots for tonight. So they could be worth a look. For the Wizards, Malcolm Brogdon is in. He left that last game, of course, with a knee injury, and we all rushed to add Bob Carrington. On the surface, this might be a bit of a situation where we kick ourselves for maybe jumping the gun, but Corey Kispert is out. Kyshawn George is out. So in a roundabout way, it still worked because I think Carrington is going to be first man off the bench and will probably play 30 minutes. So we'll see. It might work out all right. Malcolm Brogdon, that injury is coming, we think, or a trade or something. But for right now, I think we can probably just roll Brogdon out there. Are they going to go with Valanciunas and Saar together? They've done it in the last couple of games against some of the bigger sides. I wouldn't call Washington, PJ Washington, a sizable power forward, but he has played backup center throughout his career. So they may opt to stick with Valanciunas and Saar in the starting lineup here. Okay, next game is Denver at Cleveland. For Denver, Aaron Gordon, probable. He's just working his way back from that calf injury. So we would expect him to play unless something happens in the pregame. But with a healthy starting five, that does mean Peyton Watson is a drop. Russell Westbrook, take a flyer if you want to, but he is also not someone we have to have on a 12-team roster. Darius Garland is off the injury report. That's good news after he suffered a head injury in their last game. So obviously it was nothing too serious. So with him playing and the rest of their starting five intact, Ty Jerome would be nothing more than a speculative stream. That is if he plays. He is also questionable with an illness. Caris LeVert, he's fine. His minutes are sort of in the low to mid-20s, which... it's barely enough. I think I have him in one 16-team league, and I sort of play him if I don't have to make any roster decisions. And if I do have to make some roster decisions, he often ends up on the bench. All right, OKC at Toronto. For OKC, Alex Caruso off the injury report. So there was no indication this was coming. He was just injured. Healthy, which a little bit frustrating, but go and pick him up if you need some steals. He was playing well before he went down with this injury. Hopefully the time off has given him enough time to move through this because it was an ongoing injury. You throw him in that bucket with Cason Wallace, Lou Dort, Isaiah Joe, Aaron Wiggins, and now Alex Caruso, all four could play 20, 25 minutes. If you need steals, as I said, Caruso, Wallace, Dort to a lesser degree are probably our targets. Points, we're looking at Isaiah Joe. And Wiggins has had some good games in there, but this really just complicates matters for me. So I don't think Caruso is someone you need to prioritize unless for some reason now they opt to play him 25, 27 minutes regularly. For the Raptors, Grady Dick remains questionable. He was questionable in the last game, so he is getting close. I would say he's probably more than a 50% chance of playing in this one. Jakob Poeltl is questionable with an illness. If Poeltl misses here, it would be Kelly Olynyk if he was healthy, but he is not healthy. So we may get a Chris Boucher sighting in the starting lineup. I'm not sure that's a good thing against the Thunder, but we do know that he has a somewhat fantasy-friendly game, so maybe Chris Boucher is someone we look at streaming tonight. And then as for the rest of them, look, they've been playing pretty good. I'm just bringing something up here. They've been playing quite well, the Raptors. So I don't think they want to really mess with what they've got going at the moment. So it's probably Boucher that I would be looking at. They don't really have a lot of center depth. Bruno Fernando, could they dust him off and roll him out there for 15 to 20 minutes? It could be a bit of a minute split, something like that. But let's wait and see. Agbaji, he's been okay. He's a little bit like Tamani Kamara. So if he's getting 35 minutes, there's probably just enough there for him to be rostered. Charlotte at New York for the Hornets. We will assume that Micic will start again. Of course, he only played 18 minutes in that last game, whereas KJ Simpson played 28. Micic, I still think, should be rostered at least for tonight and maybe the next game. If he's starting, if he's playing well, they'll leave him out there. Salu, I probably wouldn't worry about. He hasn't been that great. KJ Simpson, though, was good in that last game. He had 9 assists, I believe, 8 or 9. So, take a flyer on him tonight. And then we've got Mark Williams, who played 9 minutes, I think, in his first game back. We would assume he'll play more, whether that means... So they, in that last game, they basically played Mark Williams in the first half and Musa Diabate in the second half. We'll see if they come in with that plan again or whether they just play Mark Williams sort of 8 minutes a half, something like that, and the rest will go to Nick Richards. Surely Nick Richards isn't available if he is going to add him. Diabate, yeah, we can move on from him. For the Knicks, they remain pretty healthy. Precious Achiuwa is questionable tonight. He's interesting. He was good last year. He'll play a role because he is easily their best backup center. In a normal situation, he'd probably come in and play sort of 15 to 18 minutes. But we do know that Tibbs likes to play his starters heavy minutes. So maybe we get 10 to 12 minutes of Achiuwa tonight. But certainly someone to keep an eye on should Towns ever get injured. And McBride is the only real streaming option here on this Knicks team at the moment. All right, Chicago at San Antonio. Josh Giddey is questionable. If he is out, Horton Tucker, please no. I mean, I'd love it if they just move Bezelis in and put the ball in his hands a bit more. Lonzo Ball is also out, as is Kobe White. So it does deplete their guard stocks a little bit. Dale and Terry would probably play some more minutes. But as I said, I would just love Bouzelis to get 25 to 28 minutes if Giddey is out. I'm not sure it happens. Dosunmu would get a bump. I mean, he's playing 30 minutes a night, but he would handle the ball a little bit more. So we'll see. Julian Phillips should continue to start with Kobe White out, but we're not interested in him either. For the Spurs, no Wemby. He's out with a back injury. No word on whether this is a precautionary front end of a back-to-back situation or whether this is something that's going to linger. We know back injuries can be tricky, so fingers crossed it is just precautionary. But with him out, Zach Collins is who we want to prioritise, as well as Charles Bassey. Bassey only needs 22 minutes to put up value. And Collins against Vooch could be in for a decent night. Vooch, of course, who's playing very well, is not known for his elite rim protection or defensive skills. So, I do like Zach Collins and Charles Bassey tonight. Both Devin Vassell and Jeremy Sochan are playing, and hopefully their minutes will start to bump up. Vassell played 26, I think, in the last game. Looked really good. Sochan only played minutes in the high teens. Did he get to 20? I don't remember. But anyway, he put up a double-double. Didn't hit his free throws, but I think both of those guys obviously should be rostered and should eventually move back into the starting lineup at the expense of Julian Champagny and Barnes or Castle, one of the two. We will see which way they decide to go. Okay, Portland at New Orleans. I do see the questions there too. I will get to those very shortly. We'll get through these games first. Phoenix at New Orleans. For the Suns, still no Yusuf Nurkic. Iguodaro started in the last game. We will assume that he will start again. I think both he and Plumlee can be rostered. Iguodaro will obviously get first crack. And against Misi, who is still very inexperienced, has been playing well, but inexperienced, Iguodaro could have a decent game here. I'm not sure what Plumlee's minutes will look like. I'd still consider rolling him out there tonight, but the Pelicans, beyond Eves Missy, Daniel Tice is out as well. So Jeremiah Robinson-Earl will play those backup center minutes. and he's not a particularly huge body, but I still think Plumlee is probably worth a look if you just need rebounds and some out of position assists for the well, and Ryan Dunn also will probably start with Kevin Durant out, but I would much rather Royce O'Neal and Grayson Allen there. For the Pelicans, Brandon Ingram is available. Herb Jones is available. We preempted this in the last show and maybe even yesterday. I don't remember when, but he will come back in. Now, if we remember back to the start of the season, they were talking about playing Herb Jones as the small ball center. We didn't really see a lot of it because they had Zion, but they don't have Zion now. So Trey Murphy obviously has more, well, he's taller than Zion, taller than Herb Jones. So maybe we see him playing a bit of those backup center minutes, but it will be interesting to see where they fit Herb Jones in here. I think he probably starts eventually, but without Zion, yeah, I still think they want to play Trey Murphy in there at the moment. But if Herb is available and you just need steals, I've said I'm not his biggest fan, but he has a case to be rostered in most 12-team leagues just because of his defensive upside and he hits you some threes. So, yeah, go and look at him. But he probably will be a bit of a ramp up here. And the return of all these guys like Ingram and Herb Jones really just cuts into what Brandon Boston can do. Maybe we hold him today. It's sort of one of those situations, I think, where you hold him until it's pretty obvious that he is only going to play 15 minutes. But he seems to have recently just found his way to 25 to 28 minutes through injuries or fouls or whatever it's been. So this may be the first game where we actually get a good look at how small his role might be. Okay, Sacramento at Memphis for the Kings. Malik Monk will remain in the starting lineup at the expense of Jay Crowder, which is the correct decision. Yeah, interestingly, Keon Ellis didn't play in that last game. He was out of the rotation, so it's something to monitor. I said if he is out of the rotation, Kevin Huerter would get a bump because he would be the primary sort of sixth man backup guard. Could play 25, 28 minutes. But it's still a bit of an unknown. It was weird. I don't know why Keon Ellis was out or is going to be out of the starting lineup. We're just rostering all the starters. Malik Monk being in the starting lineup hurts Keegan Murray. I've talked about that. I think Murray is very borderline. He is a bit Klay Thompson-y. He gets more rebounds and generally more defensive stats. So certainly a little bit of a safer floor, but hasn't looked that good this season, hasn't really taken any significant steps forward, which is disappointing. For the Grizzlies, we've got a relatively healthy lineup in terms of Grizzlies. Zach Edey is still out, but he is close, so Brandon Clark will continue to start. If you just need field goal percentage, some blocks, some rebounds, he's fine. He's not playing starters minutes, but he's playing 22 to 24 pretty consistently. Jalen Wells, if you just need points. Aldama, again, he just keeps finding a way to carve out a role for himself. So we roll with him. We roll with Smart. If you need steals and assists, because we saw in the last game, his offense is very, very spotty. He was 0 of 7, I believe. Luke Kennard, no. Jake Laravian, no. Jay Huff, no. Scottie Pippen, no. This is going to be one of the issues with this Grizzlies team, the fact they've had so many injuries. They've been able to develop guys like Jay Huff, Laravia, Scottie Pippen, G.G. Jackson, Vince Williams, who are both out, obviously. But they're just now so deep that there aren't minutes there for all of these guys, which a little bit like the situation in Brooklyn, but for a different reason. Or there's a few teams, the Warriors, they can just roll with anyone on any given night, and so it does make streaming really tough. Okay. Oh, and we're at the last game. Okay, Houston at Golden State. Fred VanVleet is questionable. If he is out, we probably get Amen Thompson in the starting lineup, I would say. and more Reed Sheppard. So that'd be nice. Always good to see Reed out there. Amen Thompson should be rostered anyway. I know he's been pretty bad the last couple of games, but still a must roster for me. Dylan Brooks probably does a little bit more, as does Jalen Green. But it would be Amen who would get the biggest bump here. Tari Eason is also out tonight. Yeah, he's in the concussion protocol. So we may see some Jay Sean Tate. If you remember back, he has had little short stretches of fantasy relevance. I don't think that's going to happen here. I think they'll just go lean into their starters a little bit more and play Amen and Reed, hopefully Reed. If we get word that Van Fleet is out in deeper leagues, I would consider streaming in Reed Sheppard. For the Warriors, no Steph Curry tonight, no Draymond Green. Of course, De'Anthony Melton's out. So we're going to get some weird guard rotations. Podziemski has been starting and should continue to start, and this is a nice opportunity for him to build on what has been a decent stretch over the last week. So let's see what he can do. Lindy Waters, we know he went off early in the season. I think did he have 7-3? I don't know. He did something anyway. I remember him going off. So a good opportunity for him as well. Kuminga should remain in the starting lineup. Looney has been starting, so we're back to 2022 with Kevon Looney as their starting center, and Trayce Jackson-Davis off the bench. While on the surface not a good move, I actually don't mind this for Trayce Jackson-Davis. Coming off the bench, I think, takes some of that pressure off him. So just keep an eye on him if you need some big stats, blocks, rebounds. Go and give him a look. Buddy Hield. Also an opportunity for both he and Moses Moody to step up here with no Steph Curry. And Hield has been pretty bad, so hopefully he can get going. All right, on to the questions. Only a couple. Shining Knight, how do we manage the schedule with the NBA Cup? Yeah, look, it's tough. Next week is obviously a very weird week. So if I pull up the schedule grid here, we've got, and I'll be doing an article for this on the weekend, I think. By the looks of it, we've got one team with three games next week, and that is the New York Knicks. So in terms of streaming, we're looking at maybe Precious Achiuwa, probably Miles McBride, campaign as well would be probably the only other guy I'd consider. And then you've got a lot of ones, some twos. It sort of looks like an even split, maybe slightly more twos than ones without actually physically counting them. So you really want to look at your two-game teams for next week, and that is the Hawks, the Celtics, the Mavericks, as the garbage truck goes by outside. The Warriors, the Rockets, the Pacers, the Lakers, the Grizzlies, Bucks, Wolves, Pelicans, Thunder, Magic, Suns, Blazers, Spurs, Raptors, and Washington, the Wizards. So quite a few teams with two next week. So you would look at those teams. I haven't physically, actually, let me have a look now. I can probably, hopefully most sites have now updated their schedule to actually, so we can see how many games are actually being played on each day. So if we change the 9th, oh yeah, Monday. Okay, so we've got, so Monday, if this is accurate now, which it might be, I'm not sure. We've got one game, two games, three games, eight games, five games, six games. So really the only day that you might not be able to stream is Friday. Even with six games, you should be able to stream. And then, yeah, the rest of the schedule is just a mess. So it is a really tough week to choose streamers. You're probably going to find yourself targeting guys that normally you wouldn't. So, for example, the Knicks play the Raptors on Monday. So you might be targeting, oh God, I don't know. Let me have a look. Where are the Raptors? Here we go. So you might be targeting, I mean, Davion Mitchell might get a look. Jamal Shedd, Jonathan Mobo. Like it's really just going to be guys that normally you wouldn't even consider when you, if you're looking at players on whatever site you use and you're just looking at who plays today, it's going to be a very small list. So I would just temper your expectations for streaming and just be happy with basically anyone that plays. Question as well, Trey Murphy or Assar for Dynasty? Nine cap. It's a tough one. Assar is still an unknown. Like let's sort of be honest there. We haven't seen enough of him to know how good he can be. I think I'd probably have him as a top 70 Dynasty asset. And I think Murphy, we sort of know who he is at this point. Probably in that range, though. I think I'd have them in the same range, but they're quite different because Assar is, I don't think he's ever going to be a high volume scorer, but he's a good rebounder, defensive stats, some assists. Trey Murphy is really just points and threes with maybe some steals. So if we're just looking at, like, if this was going to be a trade, I'd have a look at, do you have a build? Are you punting, that sort of thing? So in a couple of dynasty leagues that I'm in, for example, I would clearly go Murphy here because I'm punting rebounds and I'm punting blocks. And I want someone who hits free throws, and that's Trey Murphy. So would be a little bit, I think in terms of dynasty rank, I would have them relatively close. But that will do as for some reason the truck comes back past. There will be a post-game show today. Yes, there will. So I will be back later on to cover all eight games. We can talk about the action and maybe look ahead briefly to the weekend. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep pre-game show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.